1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
This coming Friday, we'll have another flashback night for you as we continue to clear out all the flashback backlog we got. We got another flashback by request that we'll play for you in a few minutes. And if you don't know what a flashback is, well, it's when you dropped, say, a heavy hit of Orange Sunshine, and then like 20 years later, you see like stuff. Actually, that's crap. That LSD flashback thing. Total crap. Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that. I'm serious. It is one of those stories that was invented so that kids wouldn't take LSD. I do not recommend you take LSD for other reasons. Like, for instance, if you have a psyche that is, oh, shall we say, sensitive or perhaps a bit fragile, you could drop acid and wind up in a freaking soft room. Here, is that good enough for you? But the idea that there are acid flashbacks, no. And don't tell me you know someone that had one. If you know somebody that had an acid flashback, schizophrenia, get him to a doctor. He's got bigger problems than that. All right. Anyway, flashback is a piece of a show that people like. They want to hear it again. So as a talk show, it's unusual, but we do that here. Of course, this talk show is not like any other. We play flashbacks. We have a top 100 survey of calls. It's a weird thing, man. It's far too freaking weird for terrestrial radio. In fact, this radio show is too big for radio. That's why we're taking it to TV, baby. The last broadcast of the Phil Hendry Show on radio, June 23rd, and then we're done forever. I got a couple of ideas, actually, on how I can maintain my connections to radio. But it doesn't have anything to do with creating new shows. It has to do, however, with taking the shows we've already done and redistributing them, re-syndicating them. And we hit on this idea, Maria and I, as we were talking over the weekend, and I said, you know what, man, those shows are still good, man, and people still want to hear them, and I don't know how many we've got, Mark, but, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and we could have, we could syndicate those shows that are already done. We could, like, edit the topical stuff out of them, but re-syndicate them for, like, overnight broadcasts, things like that. So we've got this treasure trove of material, but the big thing you need to know is that our website stays alive. The website is, as a matter of fact, I got an email today from a very, very, very good guy, a very smart computer guy who's going to, I'm going to talk with him this weekend about a really sharp cat who hopefully we will be able to do some business with as a network administrator, web guy, the whole thing, so that the seamless transition will be just that, seamless. for those of you who have subscriptions, continue your subscription. I would say this, subscribe. As of the 1st of October, we will have new subscription news for you. So just stay in touch with the website. Everything's good, and it's still there at www.philhendryshow.com. Also, later on, we're going to have a visit with Little Ian Anderson on the status of Keith Richards. And we have some email that we'd like to read and a little bit of news that we're going to be digging into. Now, as for what we were talking about last hour, Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa's dead. Jimmy Hoffa was cubed up in a car. And that's the end of that. All right. Probably the best rendition of what happened to Jimmy Hoffa's in that movie, Hoffa, with Nicholson and DeVito. He got shot. He got shoved into the Cadillac, shot. They cubed it up and they dumped it. Big wow. That's what they did. Why? Why did they do that? Here, I'll tell you why. Jimmy Hoffa was a union leader in the 1930s. That's kind of like being the head of a motorcycle gang now. In other words, there was this constant turf war. And the turf war was between your union, your workers, and the company. The companies would hire guys who would come in with axe handles and beat up on workers that were striking. If a worker went out on strike, the company guys would come in with axe handles and beat up on them. Hoffa needed to do something about that. So he made connections with the so-called mob. He said, my men need protection. And the mafia was only more than gracious and more than happy to help with that protection for a price. So these strikes were running street battles in the 30s. Today we hear about strikes like Vons going on strike. You know, and they're walking around with a picket sign and everything's just, you know, and oh gosh, the truck driver yelled at me, you know. In the 30s, strikes were street battles. I mean, guys were getting their heads opened up with axe handles, running street battles. And these street battles had to do with the pushing back of the unions against some of these company guys. So Hoffa went out and he got the help of the mafia. And they helped. The Teamsters was established. The strength of that union was well established. But it came at a price. And the price was, you know, you're beholden to organized crime. And it's just my theory, but I don't think it's too far out, that Jimmy Hoffa tried to play both sides against the middle as long as he could. And I think what was going on there, and there's, you know, this is what he was being investigated for. I mean, the mafia was tapping into the pension welfare funds of these different unions, most especially the Teamsters Union. The mafia was taking their cut, as we've all learned on The Sopranos. You got to give your tribute, huh? And I think what Hoffa probably did or might have done is gradually tried to wean himself and his union away from this influence. And it probably wasn't, you're not able to do that. You know, it's, you know, you owe us. And I think at some point they just said, you know, maybe Hoffa put his foot down. I don't know. But they said, well, let's talk about it. And what they meant was, may we shoot you? Sure. You're welcome. And they did. And that was the end of that. Nothing secret, nothing weird, nothing whack. Whenever I hear about a conspiracy theory, I always go back to my favorite conspiracy theory of all time. I've told the story on the air, but I'll tell it one more time in case you haven't heard it. Because to me, this is the conspiracy theory to end all. A guy, and this is a true story, a man is driving home one night through the southwestern desert. 2 a.m., he talks to his wife on the phone. He says, honey, I'll see you in the evening. Now, it's about 2 a.m., which means he's got another 16 more hours of driving. He's somewhere in New Mexico. He's heading home to Los Angeles. He says, I'll see you tonight, baby. She's great. Gets off the phone. She never sees him again. This guy was a screenwriter, well-known screenwriter. She never sees him again. Now, in the weeks and the days that succeeded the disappearance of this man who had just been on the phone talking to his wife, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll see you tonight, honey. You know the story, Mark? In the weeks that followed, people, well, what happened to him? He was abducted by aliens. There's always that one. He was killed by people who, you know, were competing for the rights to some screenplay he had. He was killed by people who didn't like what he was writing. He decided to just leave, to vanish, to, you know, that old I'm going to lose my identity and become a new man thing. All of these things began to surface. Just like they surfaced when Hoffa died and Morrison died and everybody and Kurt Cobain, all of these things. And these things gain more and more credibility until somebody can come along and just put a foot on them, right? Otherwise, we believe this crap. Now, a guy's reading the article in one of the newspapers about this man who's been gone for 8 months. Did he get abducted by aliens? Did he start a new life? This guy's in San Diego. He's just a regular Joe. He's reading this article, and he begins to make notes to himself and draws kind of a rough map as to where this guy would be when he made the phone call and where he might be a few hours later. Now, after months and months and months and months of police investigation and every jackass in the world who goes to Burning Man saying that the guy was abducted by aliens or you know, split from his wife or whatever, this guy goes up to Interstate 10 and begins to retrace the road that this man would have taken, and he comes upon a stretch of chain link fence that has been torn away in a section. And he's on a bridge, and he looks down into the California Aqueduct, which is a large aqueduct of water. It's the water that serves the Los Angeles metro area. And what does he see? He sees the rooftop of an SUV submerged in the water. And they go down, and sure enough, it's this guy who had fallen asleep at the wheel, car busts through the chain link fence and into the freaking river it goes. Now, the reason why we know that no aliens abducted the guy is because we found his freaking car sitting there in the aqueduct. But up to that point, aliens had taken him. He was playing cards with Jimmy Hoffa. he was this and he was that, and he was a whole bunch of other crap. To me, that every single conspiracy theory that you even want to mention boils down to that. Until, you know, it's like Flight 19, you know, those planes that flew out of Fort Lauderdale and got lost in the Bermuda Triangle? Yeah, sure. Guy's writing a book right now, entirely plausible. He says they got lost, they flew too far north, they turned west, which is all according to what happened on the radio transmission, and they crashed into the swamp in southern Georgia. Now, anybody who was living in Miami at the time the value jet went down knows that when that value jet went into the Everglades, you didn't see a thing. I mean, that's a whole passenger jet went into the Everglades and there was nothing except alligators. The swamp will suck a lot of stuff down, right? It's entirely possible those five planes went into the swamp, just sunk, and that's the end of that. And it's in a swamp in Georgia. They didn't bother to look at that. I believe in a Bermuda Triangle, man. Like, I believe I'm going to grow a big, thick, healthy head of hair over the next month. Bull crap. Sorry, I'm just not... As long as there's some way to explain stuff, I ain't going there. And that includes UFOs, Sasquatch, and, and morning breath. There's got to be an explanation. All right, coming up, we've got Little Ian Anderson, our flashback by request, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, we got our flashback coming up. I found the screenwriter, the man who died was Gary DeVore. You may remember a movie called Dogs of War. He wrote that. He produced a film called The Heat. Anyway, this is exactly what I told you. His body discovered July 9th, 1998 in the Mojave Desert Canal after having disappeared over a year earlier. Circumstances of his death still under investigation as of the 16th of July, 1998. Well, that's a long time ago. I'm just reading off of IMDb. Disappeared on June 28th after his car apparently slid off the road into a California aqueduct where his body remained undiscovered for a year. His disappearance was a big mystery to everyone who knew him. Happily married and with several major scripts under his belt, rumors ran rampant about the cause of his vanishment. Despite various theories of carjacking, CIA kidnapping. Man, the CIA, boy, right, they go right to that one, don't they? Or falling off the grid as some plan in the name of script research. In other words, just boom, disappearing. He apparently just fell asleep and drove his SUV into a California aqueduct. At the time of his death, he was driving home after working on a script with Marsha Mason and her family in Santa Fe, New Mexico. His mysterious disappearance prompted an amateur sleuth to retrace his route. And the guy tracked the credit card receipts for gas and cell phone records. And he contacted the California Highway Patrol with his theory of running off into the canal. This guy who just read about it in the paper. The CHP was initially skeptical due to the lack of damage of the overpass guardrails, but they soon discovered pieces of auto body parts that matched the Ford. Divers were called in, and his SUV was located in the canal a year later. So, take your conspiracy theory and your mama. Now it's time for our flashback by request. This is from Chris David in Minneapolis. He writes, Phil, my request is for the first bit I ever heard you do of a man I'm sure now is Jay Santos confiscating elementary students' Valentines because he felt that they would lead to sex and sex would lead to AIDS. He was also drinking wine coolers at the time. Yeah, that's Jay. Here it is, man.
You're supposed to be enforcing the law.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you broke more laws today than you enforced. You are going to school grounds, drinking alcohol in public, and accosting children without their parents being there. You're not even supposed to be talking to these children without their parents. The regular police can't take these children into a van and talk to them without their parents being there. They can't drink on the job, but yet you are supposed to be enforcing the law, but yet you go out and break more damn laws than what you enforce.
Well, that's the
difference. What you're supposed to be doing is taking these Valentines, and that's breaking another law. These kids wasn't breaking any laws whatsoever, and y'all are up there breaking two or three laws.
Well, sir,
the
difference between citizens auxiliary police and regular police is we are allowed to have alcoholic beverages in limited amounts on the job.
Sir.
Sir, uh-huh.
Were you not out in public?
We were on a public street. We were not
okay,
on school grounds.
It is against the law to drink out in public. It's called public drunkenness.
A public drunkenness? We weren't drunk.
Yeah.
We were drinking. I was a little tipsy, but I was not drunk.
Oh, my God. You're tipsy? You're tipsy.
And on top of all of this, you're supposed to be trying to keep these kids from getting AIDS and becoming sexual, but
absolutely,
yet you're talking about how good the teachers look?
I did not do that in the presence of children, sir. I did
you're
that when the children...
You're out in public drinking. You have a person who has a drug problem, is drinking cough syrup. You're all drunk, out in public, accosting kids without their parents, and making comments to the teachers at school, and you think that what you've done is right?
Sir, I limit my consumption in my van. That is not public drinking. I'm in the confines of the van.
Okay.
Then I get out, you know, then
okay.
I go outside.
Answer me another question. Did you walk home from there, or did y'all drive?
We drove. We drove in Citizens
Auxiliary.
Okay,
now you just broke another law. That's DUI.
No, I wasn't driving. Subcommander Brian was who...
Is he the one with the drug habit, or
no,
is he
sir,
the one
no,
sucking
sir.
Down the cough syrup?
That's another... That was one of the other gentlemen, sir.
Oh, so he was the designated idiot, or what?
You know, Joe, what are you doing for your neighborhood? Okay, I'm helping our neighborhood. What are you, Sheriff Andy from Mayberry?
How are you helping your neighborhood going around accosting children, scaring the hell out of them, driving
okay, right
them in
now,
the van, which is borderline kidnapping, and drunk on top of that?
Well,
how
sir,
are you
least,
helping
least
your
getting,
neighborhood?
I'm getting out in there, and I'm doing things, not sitting at home eating a can of boiled peanuts and waiting
well,
for...
bless your damn you neighborhood know. If you're the best they've got.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's easy to criticize, sir. Father, the success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan. Thank you.
What a jackass. But a beloved jackass, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and they're just checking out what's going on while they're sucking down cough syrup. That's great. He's got, what was the other guy's drug problem? Oh, my God. These dudes are sitting on a wall drinking Romalar, just downing bottles of it. Okay, so there you go. That's flashback by request. If you want to hear a piece of show, some other, you know, bit like you dug, just all you got to do is email us at phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. We will be grateful to, you know, get it on for you. I got little Ian Anderson coming up. He's going to tell us about Keith Richards. Got a little bit of email to read here. This is one from Bowl Haircut, one of the guys over at Sweet Feathery Jesus. Phil, first of all, I want to say congratulations on your upcoming retirement from the seven shades of dung the terrestrial radio has become. Not even a Peeman human waste chili maker and all the cumin powder in the world can make the shows that remain bearable to listen to. Rather than allowing a Skippy and Frank clone to pinch one off in the speakers of my radio. Some of us at SweetFeatheryJesus.com have been working on the Hendrypedia. It's a great fan reference site that can be edited by the fans. Oh, God. And where else can you find results while searching for Blouse Clown, Comb Over Boy, and Log Drop? Good point. Please check us out at www.hendrypedia.com. www.hendrypedia.com. Thanks, Phil, for all the laughs. You'll be missed. Everyone's favorite white Chinaman, Bull Haircut, Tim, and Rancho Cucamonga. Solid, man. No kidding. So Bull Haircut and the gang put together a Hendrypedia. So check it out if you want to get, yeah, a few of the terms that are used on the show. You know, it's funny, I never really thought of us as having terms that need to be interpreted, but I suppose Blouse Clown is a good start. Yeah, what is that? I'll never tell. Sweater Hogan. I had Andy Ashwood from Fox Radio last week. He says, yabos. That was like his word for him. I go, yabo, what is that, dude? Well, you know, I said, try Blouse Clown. Try that one on for size. Here's another one here. This is from Brant Phil. I just want to let you know I love you and your comedy. You're a person of one. No one can touch you ever. The other night you said you would forget up. We would forget about you after 30 days. That's wrong, and you know it. I won't, man. I told you once, and I'll tell you again. You have had a huge and positive impact on my life with the perspective you've given me. I know that seems like a lot of pressure to deal with, but it shouldn't be. You deserve all the goodness that you can get, and I wish so much gosh dang success. Sincerely, Craig Kitchen. Thanks, Craig.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me get little Ian Anderson on the line. Ian Anderson, not the Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull fame. This is little Ian Anderson. Has worked part of the road crew for Foghat, Blue Oyster Cult. I'm trying to think of the other bands you've been with. Oh, Ozzy Osbourne, right, Ian?
Right. It's Ozzy. For a time, Ozzy, you know, I love Ozzy. He's not the touring as much as he used to.
Now, okay, Ian, You've got some information about guitarist. Where are you right now?
Well, at the airport right now. We're going to probably get off for in a while. We're going to fly to San Francisco.
Who are you working with?
Well, right now, I'm only going to go see, you know, my mates up there, but probably go, when we're done, go fly back to L.A., probably load up, you know, for another show, or not, two shows for the band we work with right now, which is Judas Priest. But that's just for two shows which we do in San Diego.
And then you come back to L.A.?
Then we come back up to L.A., right.
All right, what's going on with Keith Richards?
Well, it's like, if you heard about Keith Richards recently, he got a brain transplant.
He got a brain transplant.
Right, but it's what I heard about.
Now, Keith Richards fell out of a tree in Fiji.
Right, right.
He fell out of a tree on his head?
Right, right. He fell out of a tree on his head. But that's just the start of it. See, what they did, after they pick him up off the floor, you know, where they found him, then they gave him a brain transplant by a team of surgeons in New Zealand. Right.
A team of surgeons in New Zealand, okay.
Right, a team of doctors are now going to be traveling, you know, with the Stones during their U.S. tour. In case the new brain, the new Richard's brain starts to reject itself from the body. See?
Say this again to me, Ian. Keith Richards got a brain transplant and now he's got a team of surgeons?
Right, right. See, they gave him a brain transplant. Right, you follow me?
Right, yeah, I follow.
All right. And so now they've got a team of doctors are going to be traveling with the Rolling Stones when they come to America in case the new Keith Richard brain starts to reject itself off of the body. Right, the new brain. The new brain rejects the body, you know?
Yeah.
See, if the brain, the new brain is rejected and Keith Richards turns into like a Frankenstein zombie, right, in the middle of a concert, right? Then so they've notified local security and they've been notified to shoot him on sight, you see.
What are you talking about, man? They're going to shoot Keith Richards?
No, but only if the brain, well, he's got a new brain from New Zealand, that they got it in New Zealand, see?
Uh-huh.
Well, if the brain it is rejected, right, then that means he could turn into a Frankenstein zombie. And that wouldn't do, would it?
So, no, that wouldn't do.
Right, so in the middle of a concert, if the Frankenstein, like, you know, if say they got the wrong brain.
Is that what you're talking about? If they get the wrong brain in there, like a criminal brain?
Right, right. See, they're going to get him a good brain because he's a Rolling Stones, so I'm assuming he can afford a good brain. But if they get a wrong brain, then is a possibility, it's not a very large possibility, but it's a possibility that he becomes a zombie, see? And if he becomes a Frankenstein zombie, then the local security forces at whatever concert hall they're in, they could be at that Staples Center or Madison Square Garden or whatever.
Okay.
That's when the local security has been told to shoot him on sight if the Frankenstein brain kicks in.
Gotcha. So, I mean, we're hoping that Keith doesn't turn zombie.
Right, we're hoping Keith doesn't turn zombie, right. Because I know it was a terrible accident, but by the same token, his mates are counting on him, you know, they've got a tour to do. Right.
Right, and you got to get out there and play.
You got to get out there and play. It doesn't matter what you've got, even if you have the wrong brain. If they put in the wrong brain, they put in the wrong brain. What are you going to do?
I mean, you just have to tell him to shoot him on sight if he goes zombie.
If he goes zombie, right, right. But until that time, you just cross your fingers, you know, keep a stiff upper lip, and just go out and do the gig, right? Come what may, right?
Right, right. But you don't want him to go zombie, because then we have to shoot Keith Richards, and we love him.
Right, we love Keith. You know, I love Keith, and I don't want to see him shot, but by the same token, I don't want a bloke going zombie on me. If a bloke goes Frankenstein zombie, and he's all in a, he's all out in the front row, he's, I don't know what the bloke would do if he goes zombie. It might mack on a bird up front in the front row, or try to tear a top off or tear a head off. I don't know.
So you got to be on alert.
You got to be on alert. You got to have local security on alert. So that's what we've told them, you know.
All right, dude, you got to catch your plane?
Right, I've got to catch my plane right now, but that's if he goes Frankenstein zombie.
Yeah, yeah, I got it, man. Everything's cool. We're looking forward to it. I hope everything's good with your tour. I hope that Keith feels better, okay?
Well, he's feeling all right. I don't know if he'd feel bad if he went zombie. You know, he didn't.
Now, I understand, man. He's got a new brain, and he's got to break it in.
Well, right. You can't break it in like you break in a new pair of shoes because the body might reject it. See? Then you go zombie.
Get out of here! Wacko. Then they gotta shoot him on sight. Okay, Keith, good luck with that new brain. That guy is, he's wonderful. He's old, he's ugly, he's frightening, he can barely play, but he's wonderful. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Sorry, I'm just, we got Mavis on the line here or not? Mavis, how are you, hon? You there?
Oh, you're listening to me. I'm right here.
I just was looking at some of your songs that are featured on the Hendry Wikipedia. You know the songs that you wrote?
I never wrote no song. You know, these are all Negro spirituals. I never wrote those.
Negro spirituals, meaning that they... And when you use the word Negro, you don't mean that in a derogatory way?
No, I don't mean that in no derogatory way. Let me tell you something right now, and I'll tell this to everybody that I know. I was out marching with Dr. King long before a lot of these new Negroes were singing the hip-hop music and looking like clowns in a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey circus. All that baggy gear, they looked like a damn clown. Now, the song that I wrote, Scrub a Baby Down, you know that one, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that's famous.
That is famous. That's a Negro spiritual. On how to get rid of diabetes. Go, oh, scrub a baby down with an old white brush. Take an old white brush and scrub a baby down. Scrub a baby down, scrub a baby down, scrub a baby down till he no longer brown.
Yeah. Okay.
What you laughing at?
Well, nothing.
All right, and now here another song. See, that we used to sing that song. Here's one called I Don't Want No Trash Can Chicken No More.
And I don't want what?
I don't want no trash can chicken no more.
I don't want no trash can chicken no more. What is the impetus of that song?
Well, that's one I did write. You know, when Bernard Park, you know, remember Police Chief Bernard Park of L.A.?
Right.
His niece got shot in a fried chicken plate. I don't know if you ever read about her. She got shot up in a fried chicken plate.
I remember she was down near some place, yeah.
All right. I think that was just reinforcing a stereotype that all black people eat greasy fried chicken, you know. So I asked for black people, too, if they're going to get shot due to the cuckaroo, which is much, much whiter. What are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at all.
So you're asking black folks, if you're going to get shot at a cuckaroo.
Yes, get shot at cuckaroo, because it's a much whiter chicken. Another place for black folk to get shot at Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
And I also want tougher censor for people who shoot blacks at chicken places for perpetrating the stereotype, you know. So here's my song that I wrote. I don't want no trash can chicken no more. I don't want no trash can chicken no more. Fried up chicken and smoke that grass. You'll wind up with a cap in your ass. I don't want no trash can chicken no more.
Oh, well, no. Okay, I got it.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, I wrote another one that everybody loves, and I sing this all all the time. You know, Timothy McVeigh on Friday night. You know that one.
That's when Timothy McVeigh... Timothy McVeigh's going to Friday night.
Yeah, it just goes, well, Timothy McVeigh is going to Friday night. Timothy McVeigh is going to Friday night. Timothy McVeigh is going to Friday night. Going to light him up like a Christmas light. And then another execution song. You know when Stanley Tookie Williams... I was Tookie babysitter, you know that.
Well, that's what you claim.
Oh, that's what I claim. You call me a lying Negro?
No, I'm not calling you any such... You claim to be Stanley Tookie Williams' babysitter, okay.
I will tell you right now, he was a very good boy. He always done what he was told. But I still didn't like him. You know,
when he was a little boy?
When he was a little boy, he was sweet and kind. He had a beautiful little face. But I hated his guts. So I wrote a song called Burn That Negro Down. Oh, burn that Negro down. Burn him to the ground. Burn that Negro down. Burn him to the ground. I'm not a racist. I'm just a dumb black lady clown. I'm sorry. See, hold on. I'm not a racist. I'm just a dumb black lady clown. Burn that Negro down. Oh, well, now burn that Negro.
Get her out of here before I get into my car, drive there, and set fire to her freaking house. She's got a what, bud?
Yeah, her one called I Shot a Dog for Jesus.
I Shot a Dog for Jesus?
Yeah.
Let me see that. I Shot a Dog for Jesus just the other day. I Shot a Dog for Jesus just the other day. I Shot a Dog for Jesus just the other day. Now my boy's an alcoholic. And that's the price you have to pay. Now my boy's an alcoholic, and that's the price you have to pay. That's great. I shot a dog for Jesus. All right, we'll take a break. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't want to know about it, man. I really don't.
Well, you don't want to know about it. She doesn't want to know about it.
Hold on, we're back on the air. Phil Hendry, I got Frank Ray. Are you taking a bath?
Yeah, I'm taking a bath. Why don't you talk to Margaret? He knows Margaret.
Yes, Phil.
I don't want him telling me what happened on Sopranos last night because I didn't see it. I'm going home. I TiVo'd it. I'm watching it tonight.
All right. Hey.
Yeah?
He doesn't want to know.
Where's the palm olive? Hey, Phil, I only use palm olive. You know, I like to wipe down with it.
Good for you, man. Something about you taking a bath while I'm talking to you gives me the creeps.
Oh, so you think I'm queer? Is that it? Let me tell you a story about this gay guy I knew. He was a guy who had
wait. He?
What are you talking about? Homosexuals?
Oh yeah.
What's wrong with this? Oh hell! My toe's stuck in the tub. Margaret, call that plumber. Get her over here.
Guess the plumber's a guy, huh?
You got it.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you, Phil, I thought that the idea you've got to retire from radio and get away from all those fags is a good idea.
Can we not use that word?
Well, you know, I'm just speaking figuratively, but you just don't. I think your time has come. I think you should go into television. I think you should work with the good people over there. I know that you've got some fine people over at NBC who may want to talk to you, and some other people over at other networks who may want to talk to you. And I'm just very, very proud of you. Jason Jay, she's very proud of you. Margaret, he's very proud of you. All of the guys at the office, they're all proud of you. So, and I'm proud of you. Frank Gray, if I were speaking of myself in the third person, I'd say she's very proud of you, too.
Very okay, man. Well, thanks a lot.
La-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, you're the one for me. Oh, rubber ducky.
Okay, that's so creepy and so, like, quasi-weird that I gotta get rubber ducky. All right, don't forget that our website is up and running and will always be. I'll never leave you. You can always touch base at www.philhendryshow.com. When we get all of our archived material loaded in there, baby, it's going to be a beautiful thing. And like I said, we're going to find a new and inventive way to make our full shows available yet again. And I don't know how that's going to be. But we've got all of this material that of any show that's ever been done in radio, well, not ever been done, but of any show, say, within the last 40 years of radio that ought to be heard again. Our shows are episodic, so there's got to be a way we can make that work. Anyway, 23 more shows to go before June 23rd. And on June 6, 06, you better believe I'm going to be here taunting God, doing a lot of anti-religious bits just to see what happens. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.